Where we start will not be where we finish, I don't think. So get in and hang on. Here we go. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, very familiar to many of us. It says, and the Lord God formed man of what? The dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God formed man of the dust of the ground. Any gardeners or planters in the room, raise your hand, just wave it high, proud. Anybody like playing in the dirt, like with plants and stuff? I don't mean like your truck. I saw some guys like, that's not what I'm talking. You know, like getting your hands in the dirt and planting stuff. It's sort of that season, isn't it? It's sort of spring season. Let's start getting in the dirt a little bit. I guess technically it was probably you had to start a little earlier than right now. But it's been interesting to me listening to my wife and others and watching it, talking to Brother Martin because of the work he does with different mulches and things like that and soils and compost. And I realize people like messing with dirt. And dirt is necessary for things to grow. You know, we've got this great valley that all these trees and fruit and all this produce that comes out of this valley and vegetables, but it requires dirt. And good dirt matters. Amen? Good dirt. I'm told that the reason the dirt here is so good is because of volcanoes through the years and deposits. That's a big part of it, some of the deposits of that. So there's storms that took place we didn't even know about that made the dirt good. I don't know if you ever thought about that. That's the way my mind worked. There have been storms that have made the dirt good. Some of y'all caught that, but it's necessary. And so, but dirt by itself, it's just dirt. Somebody had to put a seed in the ground. Amen? Someone had to put a seed in the ground. I want us to see something here today that I think is critical for us. The scripture tells us that we, that's the church was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. So before he made the world, he was thinking about his church. And the scripture tells us what we just read here in chapter 2, that in the beginning, does God do anything casually? Does God do anything without purpose? Does he do anything flippantly? No, so everything he does with purpose. And he is from everlasting to everlasting. So you and I think in terms of time. God is not bound by time. So what God does at any point in time, he does already knowing what the end result's going to be later in time. You believe that? He knows. And so I want you to see something here that he's been dealing with me about. God formed man from the dust of the ground. He made us out of dirt. You believe that? If you don't believe it, go watch some video of somebody getting exhumed and see what's in that coffin after a few years. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. From the earth we came to the earth we return. Now, but dirt can be pretty valuable. Dirt can be pretty valuable. I mean this in the most loving of way. This is pretty valuable dirt to me sitting right over here. God made you to receive seed. From the very beginning of time when he created you, the reason he formed you of the dust of the ground is because he knew I have to form them of that which can receive seed. You and I were designed, I'm not talking about natural, we were designed by God spiritually to receive seed. Seed produces things. God designed us from the beginning to be spiritual beings in which he can place spiritual seed and through which he can produce spiritual work. This is God's design. Now watch, Matthew, fast forward. If you thought we were going to take a long time to get to the New Testament, we made it. Matthew chapter 13, very familiar parable to many of us. Matthew 13, verse 15. I just want to read one verse there, and then we're going to jump over to Luke chapter 8. Because I want us to see, it's the same parable in Luke, but I want us to see something in the middle. Matthew 13 and Luke 8 shares the parable of the sower. Raise your hand if you know the parable of the sower. Most of us will touch on it. That's okay if you don't. And so we see the parable of the sower here, and Jesus shares the parable, and then he says some things before he explains the parable. So he shares the story of the sower sowing on different types of ground, and then he pauses and he begins to share some things about the parable he shared without expounding and explaining the parable. And then the disciples, after he shares a little bit, the disciples then say, well, what does the parable mean? Then he explains it. We're in the middle between him sharing the parable and between him explaining the parable. And what he's doing is a little different approach than we might take. He shares a parable, and then he shares with them the importance of what they just heard, though they don't yet understand what they just heard. Does that make sense? So what we're reading right here in verse 15 is him trying to get their attention before he explains the parable that he just told them. And this is what he says to them following the parable that he shared. He says, "This people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed." Why did they do this? The reason their ears are dull of hearing, the reason they've closed their eyes, is because they didn't want to see with their eyes, and they didn't want to hear with their ears, and they didn't want to understand with their heart. This was not a decision that God made for them. This was a decision they made. We recognize it from the line, "Their eyes they closed." It was a conscious choice they made. And the reason they made it was a result of their heart. Their heart had waxed gross. Their ears had gotten dull. It's an interesting, I was sharing it with somebody. In our house, we tried to make sure we avoid, didn't allow, there's certain words you don't allow, right? One of the words was stupid. Not a word worth using. But I found it startling when I'm looking at the scriptures and it says the people's heart is waxed gross. That word waxed gross literally translates, it's become dull, it's become callous, and they've been made stupid. You can go look it up later. I'm not making that up. This is what the Thayer's Greek said. It means to be made stupid. It's like people that at one point had understanding. They had knowledge. They had direction, could I say, from the Lord and the Word of the Lord. They had this leading of the Spirit in their life. But over time, something happened. They begin to close their eyes. They begin to let their ear, I've heard that before. Oh, I've seen that. Oh, I know where they're going. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, go ahead, Elder Flowers. You've said this before. Go ahead. Right, somewhere along the way. It happens with kids, right? Oh, no, Mom's saying that again. We understand this. And this is what he's describing. He's saying, hey, there's people that at one point they were going a certain direction. They had understanding, but they made choices and their heart got a condition where it became callous, and they may have once had learning, but because they allowed their heart and their eyes and their ears to go this way, they have become stupid. Again, I'm very careful. The only reason I'm using that word is because it's the way it was literally came out of. Jesus was saying it's possible for someone to be in a certain place in relationship to Him and His Word and what the Word is doing in their life. But by their own choice, begin to close their heart, close their eyes, close their ears. And in so doing, they go to a state that they didn't realize they could go to. He shares this in between expounding the parable. He was wanting to arrest the attention of the disciples that were hearing to know what I'm talking to you about has significant implication. And so he shares this, and they did it, and the reason they did it was right there. They didn't want to understand with their heart. Well, why wouldn't anybody want to understand with their heart? Well, he tells you in the next line. And should be converted. Now, if I ask you, do you want to be converted? Everybody go like, I want to be converted. I've been converted. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? Let me just say it in today's English. Lest they should have to change. Their heart waxes gross. Their ears become dull of hearing. That's called selective listening to the Word of God. Their ears become dull of hearing. They close their eyes. I don't want to see that. And the reason I don't want to see it, the reason I don't want to hear it, is because I don't want to change. That's what Jesus said. I like who I am. I'm far enough along in the relationship with Him. I have no interest in changing in that area. This is what Jesus, He was telling them a parable about seed. He was talking to ground, and He was saying, I've got some plans to put some things in you, but the reason I'm having issue getting things in you is because a heart is waxed gross and ears dull of hearing. You've closed your eyes, and the issue is you're resisting the change I want to bring through my word. I didn't say it. He said it. He was addressing the human condition. Now, go to Luke chapter 8, please, with me. Same parable. We read Luke's writing. And here he explains this parable of the sower. Again, I know many of you know it, but he shares some seed fell by the wayside and birds came and took it away. Some seed fell on stony ground and it grew, but then there was no depth of earth, so it died. Some seed fell among thorny ground. It grew, but then the thorns choked it out, and then some seed fell on good ground. It brought forth 30, 60, and even 100-fold. It was the ground that made the difference. Pat yourself right there and say, it's the ground that makes the difference. The Lord God formed us of the dust of the ground to receive seed. You know, in this hour that we live in, there's two words I've been hearing a lot the last, I don't know, maybe a year, maybe a little less than a year, but I've been hearing it more and more and more. Here's the two words I'm hearing. Church hurt. Anybody heard that? Church hurt? Now, I'm not denying people have been hurt in church, you understand. And I don't justify that in any way. People hurt people. Amen? We're all people. We've all been hurt, and we've all hurt somebody. Usually we remember we've been hurt, but we forget we've hurt somebody too. That's what people do in our human nature. It's not a justification of it. It's a realization of that's what we do. We need a Savior. Amen? And so there's this term, church hurt. And so it becomes an excuse for somebody to justify separation from the body of Christ or separation from allowing the Word of God to work and change their life. That becomes a reason for the dull of hearing or the closing of the eyes. Again, I'm not justifying somebody hurting somebody else in the church. You understand that this morning. Am I clear? But because I got hurt by somebody in the church is not a justification for me to begin to close my eyes and close my ears to His living Word and letting it change my life. By the way, if the church is the body of Christ and we are friends, it could be that sometimes the very hurt that comes to you is simply bringing you and I to a place of identifying with Jesus a little more closely. It could be the hurt that comes to you is causing you to identify with Jesus more closely. I'm not justifying the hurt any more than we justify what they did to Jesus. But it certainly served a purpose, did it not? Where was Jesus wounded? In the house of his friends. Oh, I want to be like Jesus. You ever pray that? Maybe that's part of the process. And so we have to, I believe, as sure as we make a conscious decision to close our eyes and to close our ears, we can make a spiritual decision in repentance to open them again. To come back to a place with God that says, Lord, my heart has become hardened. It's waxed gross, dull, and callous. Again, in the context of the scripture, it's been made stupid. What I used to know and the learning I used to have, it's like it's escaped me and I don't find myself living and walking in anymore, but I want to. And so I'm coming back, God. I'm asking you. I find it's the prophet that declared in Hosea, he said, break up the fallow ground. What's he talking about? He's saying, God, reach in your tender mercies. I know it might be painful, but God, I want your word to get into the soil. I want the seed to get in the ground. And so I'm praying, reach in, even though it may be painful, reach in and break up the fallow ground. If my heart has become calloused, I'm giving you permission. I want ground that receives seed. Amen? And so, listen what Jesus said as Luke penned it here in Luke chapter number 8, verse number 11. Now he's explaining. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. And then comes the devil, takes away the word out of their hearts. Lest they should believe. Don't miss those last three words. And be saved. I have a question for you to ponder. How does the devil come and take the word out of your heart? I won't make anybody be the devil this morning. Like, does the devil just come along and somebody walks up beside you and it's the devil masquerading as an angel of light and he just reaches in there and, pardon me, sorry. Just reaches in there and takes the seed and runs away with it. Jesus said the devil comes and takes the seed. Well, it starts with a hard heart. Hard ground, so the seed just falls by the wayside. It doesn't get in, it just sort of scatters. Right? I could walk out there on that asphalt and I could throw seed out there. I bet you it won't come up this summer. Now, over time, with a little rain and water, it may find its way to a crack, but the majority of the seed's lost. Birds are going to get it long before it ever produces anything. And so if my heart is hard, the seed goes there, and so we may feel something in the moment when the seed hits, but it doesn't get in. And so the birds come, is how Jesus said in the parable, but the devil comes and steals the seed. How does he do that? I'll tell you how he does that. He does it the same way the devil always works. Thoughts. Thoughts. I know that ministry last Sunday that Bishop shared was, yeah, that was good, but it probably wasn't for me. I know that Bishop, that ministry a couple weeks ago, Elder Flowers talked about, I mean, it was good, man. I sure hope so-and-so was listening, but I'm sure it wasn't for me. I don't know what he was doing with all that. The adversary will plant thoughts that will get you to discount the seed. That's how he steals it. That's how he steals it. My ears dull of hearing. I've heard that before. I closed my eyes. I made a conscious decision to selectively hear the Word of God. And when I chose to begin selectively hearing the Word of God, it gave avenue for the adversary to begin to steal seed. Now watch. Let's read a little further. Now, you can't miss that. He knows if he can steal the seed, he can cause someone to be lost. The opposite of being saved. He knows if he can steal the seed, he can cause you to be lost. So if there's any moment in my life where I find myself discounting the Word of God, man, I'm talking to the Lord about that. I'm searching my heart about that. I'm asking God about that. I want to receive the Word for me before anybody else. I may think my wife really needs to hear it, but I'm going to accept it for myself first. I may think, you know, maybe I was just talking to somebody a week ago, and I'm like, oh man, that Word is so beautiful. That's right for them. I hope they're receiving. But I'm first receiving it for myself. I want to receive the Word because I want to be saved. Let's keep reading, please. Verse 13. They on the rock. He's talking about ground. Pat yourself, say, I'm the ground. He forms you of the dust of the ground so you could receive seed, so I could receive seed. The seed is the Word of God. We are designed to receive the Word of God. They on the rock are they which when they were here, they received the Word with joy. You ever have that happen? Man, praise God. What a good word that was today. A month later, when you're faced with a situation that it would really be good to draw on that word you heard a month ago. I've thought about things in the last month where I remember things the Lord spoke to us in the last year or 2 years. And I thought, man, God quickened that word back to my spirit, quicken it back to their spirit. That can happen if you let the word get in the soil. But Jesus said the rocks, those are those that hear the word. When they hear it, they're excited. There's joy. But they don't have any root. And for a while they believe, but when temptation comes, pressure, they fall away. Lack of root. Verse 14. That which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard, they go forth and they're choked. Cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. This is probably the most damaging. I guess all of it's damaging. But watch. They receive the word. See, this is the challenge. This is why I need to continue to let him who formed me of the dust work on the dust. The stony ground goes, man, I received the word. The thorny ground says, I received the word. But I'm not sure if I'm not careful, if my ear has become waxed, if my heart ear is dull of hearing, I've closed my eyes. I believe what happens is I don't recognize sometimes when the word is choked out. No, I was there. I shouted. I received it. I know the Lord touched me. I went to the altar afterwards and I wept and I prayed and God touched my life. I felt it. But I don't realize a few weeks later that that very word that God put to plant in my heart because of the cares and riches and the pleasures of life, that very word that did so much in the altar a month ago or 3 months ago, all those things choked out the word. And here's the deception of that. If I don't get honest before God and let the God of the soil work on the soil of my heart, I bring forth fruit and I say, oh, look, no, it's good. I got fruit. But I miss the fact that the fruit that's produced out of my life is not fruit to completion. It's like grabbing an apple off the tree in a couple of weeks and eating it and expecting it to be good. It's not good. It's fruit, yes. The tree produced the fruit, yes, but it wasn't fruit to perfection. It wasn't fruit ready to minister to somebody else. It was fruit. It started, but the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, they choked out. And so what happens is I go through life and I come every Sunday and every Wednesday and I receive the word and the word grows. And I'm like, look, I got fruit. But I don't realize the reason I struggle to minister on the job, the reason I struggle to connect and see ministry flow is because there's no fruit to completion. It's getting choked by cares and riches and the pleasures of life. Notice none of those things that choke out the fruit, choke out the seed that's growing. None of those things are described as sin. He didn't say sin chokes out the seed, the plant that grows. It's cares and its riches and the pleasures of life. You and I, He formed from the dust of the ground. And the reason He formed you and He formed me of the dust of the ground is because from the very beginning, His intent was, I'm going to create them from something that can receive seed. It's my intent to produce spiritual things through their life. And so from the beginning, I'm going to form them of that which can receive what I'll plant. His plans for you are bigger than you think. It's been said, I'm hurrying. We won't turn there for sake of time, but you can quote it, most of you. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All seed emanates from the Lord, you understand. The word that we receive, that the parable shares, is the Word of God, the seed that is the Word of God. It is the Lord God depositing into our spirit by living word, where it reaches to where we are. It's how that the Word of God can come forward in a service or a gathering together of a group of people. And I've had this happen multiple times, many times, too many to count over my lifetime, where there's been ministry take place and following a service or whatever it was, two or three different people will be like, man, that word was just for me. I was dealing with this and this, and the word spoke to this. And then somebody else, oh, that word was just for me. And it's like, how in the world did a single word be so specific for so many different people? I'll tell you how. It's the living Word of God that reaches in. And He causes, He who knows our frame, that He framed us. It was Abraham that said, He knows my frame. I am just dust. But He knows that. And so He says, I know the ground. I know what seed to put in the ground. I know the ground. See, He's not arbitrarily depositing seed. He's looking at the soil of your heart. He's looking at the soil of my heart. And He says, I know what that soil will produce because I formed that ground that I'm getting ready to put the seed in. I know what that life can produce because I formed it. I know what that life can bring forth if they'll let me put seed in it. And so God in His infinite wisdom releases a rhema word of seed into your life and mine, and what it produces in some is different than what it produces in another. But it's the living Word of God, the seed that if I'll let it get in my heart, it will produce what only He can produce. I can't produce it. Elder Flowers has said it a couple of times. We can't manufacture a move of God. Well, I'm going to tell you, we can't manufacture some production of the Spirit. It's got to be by the seed getting in the soil. There's no other way. I can't learn to produce fruit in my human effort and ability. But if I'll get broken before God and say, break up the fallow ground. Let the seed of the Word get into my spirit. Let the living Word of God get in where you want it to go. You who knows my frame, plant your word in my heart. Plant your word in my heart. It's King David declaring, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. It's the power of the living word of God. So I have to examine again and again. Let the word get in. Let the word get in. And what happens, Jesus said it at the end of the parable, there's also seed that falls on good ground. There's also seed that falls on good ground. And some good ground produces 30-fold. And some good ground produces 60-fold. And some good ground produces 100-fold. I have a question for you. Which ground is better, the 30-fold or the 100-fold? That's a trick question. You knew it. You could tell, couldn't you? Which ground's better? Neither. They both produced what the seed intended. They both produced what the seed intended. It's why I don't look at my brother and say, how come this is happening in their life but not in mine? If anything, it should cause me to examine my ground. Right? Not trying to do more. Examine the ground. Let the word get in. But understand, it's not going to produce the same in every life because every soil is not the same. Different storms, different soil. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. But it doesn't stop there. We find in verse 12 of that chapter, the writer says, as many as received Him. Who's Him? The Word. As many as received Him, the seed. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. My and your heart and its willingness to let seed of the word be planted is directly proportionate to us operating and functioning as sons of God. Their receiving of the word. You find Jesus praying later on in John chapter 17. And He makes this statement in His prayer. He says, Father, I have given them Your word and they have received it. They received the seed. Now they're going to produce some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. I marvel. I'm in my 50s now. And I marvel through my lifetime. Different places we've been as a military kid growing up. I would marvel how there could be individuals that would go to church week after week after week after week after week. But it seemed like they still dealt with the same stuff over and over and over and over and over. And it never changed. And I'm like, is it possible that God would expect them to continually hear the word of God and it never bring any change to their situation and their life? And they would remain in that place of unchanging, faithful. I talked to the Lord about this. I have questions about this. Faithful, Lord. They're faithful. They go. But man, why is this area not changing here? Why? And I felt like the Lord said, they're dull of hearing. Their eyes, they've closed. The Word of God should bring change in all of us. The Word of God. There's not a one of us in this room is exempt. There's not a one of us in this room that have arrived. I want the Word of God to continually change my life, work in my heart. But the issue isn't the seed. It's my ground and letting it get broken. He made me of good ground. He made you of good ground. Stuff just gets in there. You understand stuff gets in there? Yeah. Do you know you can take rocks out of the ground? Do you know you can dig thorns up and get them out of the ground? You can do that. So just because there's rocks and thorns doesn't mean it's a lost cause. It just means you got to work the ground. And so sometimes we just want the seed to do the work. And the Lord's saying, I'd like to work, but you're neglecting the ground. Get the ground on an altar. Get the ground on an altar. Let the preacher put the plow deep and break up some fallow ground. Receive the word. Let it break up the callousness of the heart. Let the hardness of my head get broken up so that the word of God can get in. I want to submit the ground to the one who formed me of it. I want to submit the ground to the one who formed me of it. He knows what to do with this ground if I'll put it back in His hands and say, do a work here. You know the seed that needs to be planted to produce what only You can produce. They receive the word. I'm trying to finish. Hebrews chapter 4. I want you to watch this. Verse number 2. There's some scriptures in the Bible that always just blow my mind. You know, some scriptures you can read and you're like, that's so beautiful, I can see that. And then there's some scriptures you can read and you're like, my goodness, that just, wow. I'll tell you one. It's not the one I'm going to read. This is one, but there's one that comes to mind that speaks of the chaste lifestyle of a wife with an unsaved husband. Anybody ever heard that verse? That scripture, this blows my mind. This is one of those blow my mind scriptures. That scripture, the Bible says that a chaste lifestyle of a wife can save her unsaved husband, but you got to keep reading the rest, without the word. Let that sink in. Some of you can go look and see if that's really true, aren't you? You're like, is it say? It says that. It says their lifestyle can save their husband without the word. It's made me think sometimes maybe the saved wife with the lost husband should stop talking and start living a lifestyle. Anyway, that's bonus. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm just talking about scriptures that blow my mind. But watch, this is one of those scriptures that does this that makes me go, my Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. The writer of Hebrews says, unto us, everybody say, unto us. Unto us was the gospel preached. We heard the word. We heard the death, the burial, the resurrection. We heard it. We heard the message of repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, the infilling of the Spirit of God, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. By the way, Maya, Jacinto and Adira's daughter, got the Holy Ghost a couple of nights ago. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? So the gospel was preached as well as unto them. The writer of Hebrews is saying, he's making this statement. Here, come here, sit right there, please. The writer of Hebrews is saying, to us, the gospel was preached. The same gospel that was preached to them. Same words, but there was a difference. The word, for whatever reason, preached to them, it didn't profit them. How is that possible? Same altar, same pew, same word, same gospel, same seed. It was preached. It was declared. Answers for your life were given. Instruction for the battle you're facing was given. Hope for what you've been going through was given. Peace from God in the midst of the storm was given. An utterance from the Holy One was given. And it profited one, but another sat there. I don't know why. I didn't get anything out of that. I don't know what happened. Nothing. I don't know. It's just a bunch of noise. Thank you. But this moves me. It stirs my heart. The writer declares, unto them it did not profit. That literally means the word did not produce anything. How is it possible that sitting maybe even not even that far apart, maybe sharing the same seat side by side, how is it possible that they could hear the seed, that they could hear the word, that the moving of the Spirit of God could come upon the life, and yet it would not accomplish anything? Hear me. We can pray till we're blue in the face for you. We can intercede until there's no more left to intercede. But if you'll not put your heart on the altar, if you'll not let the Lord, the God Almighty, break up the fallow ground, it doesn't matter how much someone prays. If you won't let him take you to a place of brokenness that can receive the seed, there's nothing wrong with the seed.
The seed is still able to produce a work. The seed is still able to heal your heart. The seed is still able to make you whole. The seed is still able to heal your body. The seed is still able to restore your mind. The seed is still able to resurrect your lost loved ones. The seed is still able to reach where you cannot. The seed is still able to do miracles in your family. The seed is still able. The seed is still able to put your marriage back together. The seed is still able to rescue your lost child. The seed is still able to reach into a prison. The seed is still able. I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with the seed. Let the ground of my heart be broken up. Let me recognize He formed me to receive seed. He formed you to receive seed. Not so He could judge you, so He could use you. You ought to thank Him. Thank you for making me out of dust. Thank you for forming me from the ground. Thank you for creating me to receive seed. It's the Apostle Paul declaring, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I'm nothing but a dirt pot made out of the ground. But the living God said He'd put His seed inside of me when He filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And this seed in my spirit is not so I can walk around saying, look who I am. I know who I am. I'm just dust from the ground. But I got a treasure. And the treasure is so that the excellency and the power may be of God, not of us. He knew this when He formed you. Hikatadamashato. Ilamando rokoshiti amasa. Hear me today. I'm not denying the challenges of life that come at all of us. I'm not denying the hardships that we face along the journey. I'm not denying some hurdles we've had to clear or maybe some things we're even going through. I'm not denying any of that. But hear me. Hear me. The ability of the seed to work in my life is not dependent on anybody else. It's my heart, His seed. I have to purpose. I will let the seed get in my heart. I will not sit and be unprofitable. I will let the seed get there. It will not be said of me that I heard, but it was not profitable. It will not be by your grace, God, not by my doing, not by my ability, but by my submission to your will and your work. It will not be said the seed came and was unprofitable. Why was it unprofitable? Can we put that back up there, please? We see why it wasn't profitable. The word did not profit them. The Bible says, not being mixed with faith. See it? Oh, no, back one. You were right. The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. That word mixed there literally means to co-mingle. Remember I was telling you Brother Martin brought us a bunch of mulch and dirt and all that? I don't know what my wife's going to do with it. Brother Martin was asking me. I'm like, bro, I don't know. I think she's got some plan. I'm sure she's got a plan. And I'll probably be the one executing the plan once all the dirts get there. But I know enough of her plan that there's supposed to be this mixing. Like there's going to be some of this and some of that in there. You know, why is she mixing all that? Well, because she knows, or she's read, and she understands, that you can't just rip up the grass and throw seed on the dirt.
There's some value in getting some compost and some mulch and mixing it together. What is she doing? She's preparing the ground to receive seed. There's a mixing taking place in the ground to make it prime for receiving seed. The writer of Hebrews said, the reason the word wasn't profitable to some wasn't because there was anything wrong with the word. It was simply because the word, for those where it was unprofitable, they didn't let it commingle with faith. They sat through a service analyzing every word and scrutinizing every word. Well, I don't know. I don't know what they're trying to say. Just let the word mix with faith. Well, I don't know. You know, Elder Hart this, Elder Flowers that. They said this. No, they're just trying to pick on. No, that's not. That's the adversary trying to keep you from letting the word mix with faith. Let the word mix with faith. Let the word mix with faith. Let the word mix with faith. I find it interesting when you read this. It says, the hearers had not by their faith let the word find its way into their minds and made it their own. In other words, it was just a message somebody shared or preached or taught or exchanged, but it never made its way into their thinking with faith to where they said, I'm receiving that word. That's mine. I'm laying hold on that word. That's mine. I'm taking hold of that word, that seed. Get it in my heart, God. Get it in my heart, God. Stand with me today, please. Everything you need is in the seed. Life is in the seed. Hear me, life is in the seed in the Word of God. What do you and I have control over? The ground. The ground. What am I going to do with the ground? Am I going to allow stones to remain there? Am I going to, I'm digging that out. Come on, we've all lived this before. We've had the word come and touch our hearts, and we're excited about it. And then a few weeks later, it's like, man, I don't know. I got to have somebody preach that message all over again. What happened? Nothing wrong with the word. I just got some stones in there. That's not saying, oh, you're a terrible person. It's acknowledging my human nature. I've got some stones in there. And so I'm going to say, hey, give me more seed. Or I'm going to go, you know what, hold on a minute. I need more seed. Let's get this started. But let me deal with some stones so the seed can get some root. Let the seed get some root in my life. Thorns. Dig them up. How do you get rid of thorns? Cares of this life. Riches. Luke called it the deceitfulness of riches. Pleasures of life. All of those things are things that would feed the flesh, satisfy the flesh. Jesus said, your indulgence in all those things is thorns that choke out the word. So what do? I start letting the Holy Ghost deal with my heart, Elder Flowers. I let the Holy Ghost deal with my heart. Go, hold on a minute. Again, none of those, he didn't call any of those things sins. And that's where we get hung up. We'll go, is it a sin? That's not the question. The question is it a thorn? Is it choking out the word? Is it causing the fruit that's produced through my life not to be to perfection? So I go, you know what? You know, it's like, I remember quite a few years ago, I'm going to pick on him. He shared it publicly or I wouldn't do this. Brother Zario came a few years ago, quite a few now. Time flies. That means he's getting old. And so God had dealt with him. He was a gamer. Any gamers in the room? Don't raise your hand. Sorry I asked that question. Not sorry, but don't raise your hand. He's a gamer. He had all kinds of systems and games and stuff like that. I don't know. I didn't dig and ask. I don't know that he was participating in sinful games and doing things that were sinful and playing those games. But the Holy Ghost began dealing with him. What does the Holy Ghost care about video games? Thorns. Pleasures of life that choke out the word. Things that would steal the word of God. Or once it grows, you got fruit, you're fine. You're fine, there's fruit, you're going to church, the word. We got to start, and all of us have had thorns. We have to deal with them. And if you've ever dealt with thorns in the natural, they come back. You can dig those things out. You can cut them up. You can burn them. And they'll grow back again sooner or later. If you got to deal with them again. So much more in the Spirit for us. We have to allow the Spirit of God to illuminate those things. And then we say, let's deal with them. Why? Because I want the seed. I want to produce 30, 60, 100. I know that I'm talking to people who have a heart that says, God, I want fruit produced through my life. I want to be a vessel of honor unto you. I want this ground to bring forth good fruit that pleases the Father. And so what we do is we say, search the ground. I know you made me to receive seed. Come on, I'm opening this altar to you this morning. Maybe you're wanting to let him plant seed a little deeper. Maybe you need some more seed put in there. Maybe you're going, I got to deal with some thorns right now that the Holy Ghost has illuminated to me. Maybe you're saying, I got some stones. I'm digging them out right here at this altar. Maybe you're saying the ground's gotten hard, but I'm purposed that I'm staying in the process. And so, God, in your mercy, I humble myself. Break up the fallow ground of my heart. I want to receive every element of your word to bring forth fruit unto perfection. Come on, the measure of a child of God is not the operation of spiritual gifts. And we need spiritual gifts. But the measure of a child of God is fruit. The Bible is very clear. You shall know them by their fruit. So we got to get the soil. We got to get the soil on the altar. We got to know he created us to receive seed. He didn't create you to fail. He created you to flourish. He created you to receive seed and for your life to produce spiritual fruit. You should take joy in that. Let him do it today.